Okay, we're ready.
Yep, I never asked. With these cameras, we can flip the thing right around and you can look at yourself. Is that better or worse?
No, that's no good. That's fine. All right, here we go. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have you ever prayed and then experienced an undeniably supernatural response? Well, Pastor Nicky Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, he was very concerned about his father's eternal destiny. And of course, he and his wife Peppa had been praying for his dad over a number of years. And when they were with him on his father's deathbed, they were praying with him and explaining to him the way of salvation and the way of Jesus. And then Nicky Gumbel's father died. You know, Nicky was very concerned about his dad, and he prayed and talked to the Lord about whether or not his father had received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And a little later on, while doing his personal devotions, locked away in his study, praying and reading through Scripture with the Holy Spirit, he felt the Holy Spirit speak to him as he read Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he just felt this in his heart that the Holy Spirit was directing him to the fact that his father had called on the name of the Lord Jesus and was saved. And as he was leaving for work that day and getting on his bicycle helmet as Nicky would cycle to work along the motorway, Pippa, his wife, came and said, "Oh, hon, just before you go, I just wanted to share with you. I was doing my personal devotions, and I really felt Romans chapter 10, verse 13 call out to me, and I believe God was speaking to me about your father." You know, on Nicky's route, on his way to work that day, on a billboard was a verse. The billboard that everyone could see along the motorway. Of course, you'll see advertisements for everything under the sun, and sometimes you do see gospel literature or verses that have been put on there and paid to be put on there. And this is the verse that was on the billboard. And of course, you've probably guessed it. It was Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we talked to Pippa about these three occurrences, and, you know, Pippa, with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, said, "I wonder if God is trying to tell you something, Nicky." Did God do that? Well, Tom's daughter had been in an accident. While out with friends, you know, Tom and his wife, they had little info other than their daughter had been in an accident and they were given the hospital in which she is being taken to and rushed to. And of course, their minds raced faster than the wheels on their car could take them to the hospital. And Tom and his wife did the one thing that they knew they could do, and they prayed. And of course, they prayed for her safety. They prayed for the other passengers that had been involved in the accident, and they prayed for her healing, but they really didn't know what state they were going to find her in. And as they were praying, Tom prayed that God would make his presence known right there at the hospital where his daughter was. He prayed that his daughter would be made aware of God's presence. When they arrived at the hospital, Tom and his wife noticed an intriguing cloud formation above them in the sky above the hospital. Did God do that? Well, I will leave that to your debate. You can debate that amongst yourselves. What I really want us to see is that in these experiences, we have two couples that are devoted to praying. You know, current statistics indicate that 55% of Americans, this is Pew Research and Barna Group, a great sociological firm that studies trends in culture with Christianity, have looked at this Pew data. No pun intended. Pew is just the name of the company. It's not for a church pew. But current stats indicate that 55% of Americans pray at least once a day. Now, of these 55% of Americans, they are made up of 30 to 64-year-olds primarily, the majority of them. 63% of them are these ages. And 18 to 30-year-olds make up the smallest percentage of just 16%. There are definitely more women who pray daily than men, 59% of women. But, you know, in all of this, we read that 82% of those who do pray, pray silently and pray solitarily. They pray by themselves. Well, we see here in our passage the Lord's Prayer. We refer to it as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. Now, the Lord's Prayer is central to Jesus' teaching about life in the kingdom of God. And we read that the early church subsequently was devoted to prayer. We read this in Acts 2:42, that they were devoted to fellowshipping together, gathering together. They were devoted to sharing everything they had amongst themselves. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. But here in Matthew, we discover that initially the disciples are asking to be taught how to pray. I think it is important to understand that as much of the words of the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, are beautiful and rich. There's beautiful tapestries that have been designed that have incorporated the Lord's Prayer into them. Countless pieces of literature and song embody the beauty and the majesty of the Lord's Prayer. And as beautiful and rich as it is, and as it stands alone, you know, Jesus is not simply giving us words to say or recite. That is not the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. Now, of course, if I were to break into a reciting of the Lord's Prayer, there are countless untold thousands upon thousands, I dare even say millions of people who would be able to recite the Lord's Prayer and recite it word for word. But we know that this type of ritualistic habit can so easily become routine, that can then so easily become a rut. And what becomes routinization becomes rutinization. You know, Jesus, again, here in this passage, is pointing not just to the physical aspects or the outward appearance of what we do and say, but he is pointing to the heart and the desires of the heart. He is teaching us what ought to be found in our heart and our mind when we pray. Well, First, we find in this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we find that he is teaching us how to relate to the Father. So first, we relate to him. He is your Father. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? He is your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He watches over you just as a father watches over his own children. So we relate to him as family. We relate to him as family with intimacy, reverence, and love. We pray to our Father who loves us, cares for us, and sent his son to die for us and save us. You know, the Apostle Paul declares in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, that you have received the spirit of sonship when we cry, Abba, Father. And we know this term Abba coming from the Aramaic. There's been much debate about what it means, but this we do know is it is a very personal term used to describe a father. It would be the term that I would use for my own father would be Dad. Hi, Dad. How are you today, Dad? I love you, Dad. So the term Abba is more closely describing God as Dad. So first we relate to him. And Jesus is very clear in this teaching that we can address him as our Father. Second, we see in the Lord's Prayer that we rejoice. Hallowed be thy name. Well, why do we rejoice in the name of God? Why would we rejoice in the name of God? Well, first off, he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. You know, Max Lucado writes, the joy offered by God is different than the one offered at the car dealership or at the shopping mall. God is not interested in putting a temporary smile on your face. You know, Peter refers to the joy that we receive in 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says this, and I read, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, I don't know what could bring more joy and more rejoicing in the heart of anyone than to know that they are free from the bondage and slavery of sin, and that they have a heavenly Father who cares about them and loves them and sent his own Son to die for them and to save them. What rejoicing we can have and receive and experience as we live in and through this truth. So we not only relate to him, but we rejoice in him. Thirdly, we receive from him. Thy kingdom come is central to Jesus' model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, central to Jesus' model prayer is the desire for God's kingdom to come here. Put another way, there is an openness to experiencing God's will, to experiencing his plan, to experiencing his way for us in this world. When the Holy Spirit is in us, the things we desire are the things that God desires for us. A hunger to know God's word, and the joyful experience of obedience to his word and obeying the words and teachings of Jesus. You know, later on, in this very same sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds them that just as they know how to give good things to their children, and Jesus even adds a little caveat, even though you are evil, and imagine saying that to a crowd of people, oh, you know, you're evil, but you know how to give good gifts to your children. He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Well, what good things? Well, the things that God desires for you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants you to experience joy. God wants you to experience peace. God wants you to experience fulfillment. God wants you to experience all of those things that come through the knowledge and salvation of Jesus Christ. God wants you to be made whole. God wants you to be reconciled to Him. And you can receive that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, right now, as it already is in heaven. Well, fourthly, we then see that there are requests. We request, give us this day our daily bread. Well, bread is synonymous with our needs. So said another way, give us today the things we need. Oh boy, this is such a difficult passage to navigate for some folks. Some folks get so caught up in believing that the things that they need are the things that they want and desire, and sometimes those can be very far apart. Now, I could pray and ask that the Lord help me win the lotto 649. And seeing that this past week there's a family that won the lotto 649 for a second time. And they won it way back in 2010 or something like that, and they just won another $17 million. We won't talk about that too much today. Suffice it to say that, you know, I don't necessarily believe that God desires for us to pray that we might win the lotto 649. It's definitely not what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. God has promised to meet your needs today. You know, we so easily desire monthly, yearly, future needs, to which God has pointed us to daily reliance in Him. You know, our greatest need is to be fed by God. Our greatest need is to be filled with His presence. Our greatest need is to desire and follow His will. Our greatest need is to pray that we clearly see and enter into His plan for our lives. Our greatest need is that we experience a filling of the knowledge of Him through the presence of His Word in our lives, as we take the words of Jesus to heart and they become who we are and how we live. So we request. I trust and I pray that you have experienced the filling of your daily needs as you've come closer to Jesus. Even in the midst of this COVID experience, His Word still remains the same. And the same filling and the same fulfillment of needs happen today. Regardless of where we are and what we do, God is still a God who meets our daily needs. So, fourthly, we request. And then finally, fifthly, lastly, we repent. You know, repentance is simply turning away from one way and turning to another. And that would be turning to Jesus, turning away from our old self, turning away from sin, and turning to Jesus. And we read in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Simply put, turn your heart toward Jesus. You know, there's a startling warning here that Jesus gives. And we read it in other passages in the New Testament. You know, forgiveness here, notice the words of Jesus, forgive us as we forgive others. When we don't forgive others, we essentially place ourselves on a pedestal above others. And we let judgmentalism and pride creep into our heart and into our lives. We are all sinners. I am a sinner saved by grace. We are all sinners in need of forgiveness. God forgives us as we are forgiving others. Not so He will forgive us. I don't forgive others so God will forgive me. But God forgives us as we forgive others. He will, but because we have been forgiven, we forgive. Now, something else I want us to notice about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is corporate. Our Father, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us. There is togetherness in Jesus' teaching about prayer. You know, the early church, we read that they were devoted to praying together. Think about this. Jesus gives a small group of believers a seemingly impossible task. Go out into all the world and make disciples of everyone. Jesus, that's not possible without you. God, that is not possible unless you do it. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they were devoted to prayer. My prayer for you is that you will not feel isolated during this time, and that you will understand and have a real sense that God is here, He is present in our midst, because where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is with them. And of course, we want to, as a church, discover new ways, innovative ways that we can continue to be a church that prays together. And although we might not be able to gather together in a physical sense in the way that we wish we could right now, we can still pray together. And so they prayed. And what happens when they prayed is they come closer and closer to Jesus. May you experience a God who is closer than you could ever hope or imagine. He is your Abba Father, and He is ready to speak to you and make His presence known. May God richly bless you as you continue to be devoted to prayer and as you call out to our Father who art in heaven. Amen.